Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to session 4090. Combating the public health challenge of physical inactivity. We greatly appreciate your attendance here. We know there are a lot of choices at the meeting, so thank you for supporting this invited speaker session. I'm Steve Hooker. I'm director of the Prevention Research Center at the University of South Carolina in the School of Public Health. I'll be moderating today. We have three outstanding presenters. Each will speak for 20 minutes, and then we'll have an immediate Q&A with that speaker for a few minutes, and we'll do that three different times, obviously, and then at the end we'll also have about 10 minutes for other questions and for any of the panelists to respond to your inquiries. I'll give a brief intro right before each speaker, just so you know who they are and what they represent, what they're doing in the field of physical activity promotion. Our first speaker today is Rear Admiral Penny Royal, and she directs the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Public Health and Science, and she is a commissioned corps officer in the U.S. Public Health Service. She leads that office in coordinating two key initiatives. For Secretary Leavitt, the Secretary's prevention priority, which is built on President Bush's Healthier U.S. initiative, and Healthy People 2010. Penny and her office have primary federal leadership responsibility for many things that you're probably familiar with, but you didn't know that she was connected to it. The government's premier gateway website, healthfinder.gov, she oversees that. The National Health Information Center, and also the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. She oversees that process. And she'll be here today to talk about another process that she's been recently involved with, which is the development of physical activity guidelines for Americans, the first such guidelines ever in the United States. Penny is a very gracious person. She has a wonderful Southern accent, and even better, she has a wonderful Southern charm. So join me in welcoming Rear Admiral Royal to the podium.
Good morning and welcome. I'm so excited to be here. This has been quite an adventure for the last 2.5 years to move towards the first ever federal department-wide comprehensive physical activity guidelines for Americans to make the bookend for those dietary guidelines for Americans that we have been issuing every 5 years since 1980. So let me get started. Why did we do this? That's always the first question. Why did you do it, and why did you do it now? Well, physical activity is the leading example of how lifestyle changes can have a profound effect on health. In fact, as the slide says there, being physically active is one of the most important steps that people can take for their health. Another good reason for doing this now, Americans are by and large physically inactive. Like other modern societies in today's world, life in the U.S. requires very little physical activity. The amount of physical activity that we do is largely a matter of personal choice and environmental conditions under which we live. As the slide says, many opportunities for being physically active have been engineered out of our lives. Comprehensive guidelines are necessary because of the importance of physical activity to the health of Americans. Our current activity puts us at unnecessary risk for many chronic diseases. Our hope is that these guidelines will provide a rallying point for all groups. We can all come together now, get behind these guidelines, and begin to promote physical activity in a way that was not possible before. There have been many guidelines over the years. Multiple organizations have issued recommendations and guidelines. Sometimes their focus has been more narrow, but nevertheless, there have been many efforts across the years to promote physical activity. The 1996 report of the Surgeon General was the last U.S. government guidance focused on physical activity. The science continues to evolve, and there have been calls for national guidelines from many groups. In 1995, for the first time, physical activity was mentioned in the dietary guidelines for Americans. And in 2000 and in 2005, dietary guidelines for Americans included specific recommendations for physical activity. They highlighted cardiorespiratory fitness and also focused on the energy balance in the face of this obesity epidemic that we currently are dealing with in our country. As Steve said a minute ago, Secretary Leavitt is pushing the President's Healthier U.S. program, and that is based on four pillars. First, be physically active. Second, eat a nutritious diet. Third, make healthy choices around alcohol, tobacco, and other things like that. And fourth, get preventive screenings. Those four items, the first two, eat well and get physical activity, are an absolute powerhouse as far as changing the health landscape of this country. And each one of us can choose to do those things on our own, no matter what environment we are in. So, the federal government issued those first activity guidelines just a few weeks ago, October 7th, 2008. The aims of the physical activity guidelines, obviously to stem the tide of this inactivity. These guidelines address cardiorespiratory fitness, strength, and balance. We hope, again, that they will harmonize the various recommendations that are out there. We want them to, and they do, address various subpopulations, like older adults, persons with disabilities. We want them to motivate Americans to become more physically active while promoting wellness and healthy lifestyle choices. How did this process begin? Well, you know, I'm going to tell you the true story. When Tommy Thompson was Secretary of Health and Human Services, I was acting executive director of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. And I went to Secretary Thompson and I said, you know, sir, we really need physical activity guidelines as a bookend to the dietary guidelines. The federal government needs to make a statement about physical activity because of its tremendous relationship to positive health outcomes. And Secretary Thompson was all for it. He said, let's go for it. That's a great idea. Let's move on it. And then as we began to take some steps, we realized that, or I realized, I was not absolutely sure that the scientific research base was enough for the physical activity guidelines to stand on. I didn't know if there was enough evidence out there that we could base comprehensive physical activity guidelines on. And so about that time, it was time for the election, and everyone got busy with other things, and so I never got any traction with that. And so we got a new secretary, Mike Leavitt. And I went to Secretary Leavitt early on before he announced his prevention priority. And I said, Secretary Leavitt, we need to move on physical activity guidelines. And he said, well, you know, I'm not really sure that guidelines make a difference. After all, we've had these dietary guidelines for a long time, and Americans aren't eating very well. And I couldn't argue with that. And he said, let me think about it. And so several months, even maybe a year went by, and I made a call down to the CDC to talk to Bill Dietz and Dave Buckner. And I said, look, I'm going back to the secretary now. This is my third strike. And I want to know, is there evidence out there? Do we know enough about dose response? What about pregnant women? What about adults with disabilities? What kind of evidence base is out there? And Bill and Dave said, we believe the evidence is out there. All right, so I went back to Secretary Leavitt for my third try and said, you know, sir, there is evidence out there. And he said, are you sure about that? And I saw I gulped and I said, yes. But if you want to be sure, we can ask the Institute of Medicine over at the National Academies to help us. He said, I like that idea. I want to be sure we've got as firm a foundation for physical activity as we do for nutritional health. So the folks at IOM were very, very accommodating. Linda Myers over in the food and nutrition area of the Institute of Medicine said, we'll do it. And I said, guess what, Linda, we need to do it fast. And she said, all right. So we got an IOM workshop put together for October 2006, and you can see on the slide there what the Institute of Medicine looked at. And at the end of October, I think it was October 26, had the report hot in my hand right before we had one of our national prevention summits. And I said, Secretary Leavitt, we're on. And he announced then at that prevention meeting that his department would develop physical activity guidelines for Americans. So we got the smartest people in the world to work on our committee, and one of them sitting right up here at the table with us, Antoinette Yancey from UCLA, sat on that federal advisory committee. This was an independent group of 13 members with a broad range of expertise linked to literature review and conceptual framework. The literature review was managed by CDC. It would not have been possible for us to have gotten this done in 2 years without the tremendous help we got from the Division of Nutrition and Physical Activity and Obesity at CDC. So some of the things that the committee looked at were cross-physical activity measures like frequency, intensity, duration, pattern type, energy expenditure, etc., and how those things were related to outcomes. We wanted hard diagnoses, body composition, functional health, cognitive function, adverse events, and some markers such as bone mineral content. How does physical activity address or influence those things? So this committee turned it around, and in June of this year, the advisory committee report was released to Secretary Leavitt. And from that time, the guidelines, the writing committee got going. That was chaired by Dave Buckner from CDC and came out with these guidelines. So what's new about these guidelines? What's especially important, I believe, is that the Federal Advisory Committee conducted the first major science review in more than a decade. Americans also now can be told to get active your way. The more you do, the more benefits you gain. As Americans have the chance to be active their way, we have focused on the total amount of activity in a week. It is better to spread it out, but the 30 minutes, 5 days a week, that is very common among other dietary, I'm just starting dietary guidelines on Thursday. and other physical activity guidelines, we move to a weekly amount because the science does not differentiate between the amount of physical activity 30 minutes 5 days a week or another 150 minutes a week. In other words, You can go for a long walk on Saturday and knock out an hour on Sunday and Monday. Do nothing Tuesday afternoon. You've got time to walk another hour. That's great. But on Thursday and Friday, there's just no way. And so on Saturday, you can walk for 30 minutes. You've done it. This is moderate physical activity. The guidelines are for Americans age 6 and over. We know that regular activity reduces the risk of many adverse health outcomes. You see there on the slide that added health benefits accrue as you do more. Most health benefits require at least 2 hours and 30 minutes or 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity physical activity. The Federal Advisory Committee highlighted that aerobic and muscle strengthening activity are beneficial. The committee noted that physical activity is by and large a safe thing to do, and the benefits far outweigh the risk of adverse events. This is something that I just think is wonderful for us to be able to say to the couch potatoes of America. Any amount of physical activity is good for you. It doesn't matter what your age. It doesn't matter what your BMI. It doesn't matter whether you live in Alaska or Hawaii. It's good for you to get up and move. Some benefits start with as little as 60 minutes of activity a week for those who are totally inactive. But, as it says there, the message for most Americans is 2 hours and 30 minutes a week of moderate intensity physical activity substantially affects your health in a positive way. However, don't need to say to everyone out there, you've got to start with 150 minutes. Start with 10 minutes a day. Just get out there and move for 10 minutes a day in a moderately intense activity. As a person moves from 150 minutes to 300 minutes a week, additional benefits accrue. Isn't that great? Physical activity is absolutely, if I could put it in a pill, I would be the richest woman in the world. It's not available in a pill now, but it is available in 10-minute increments now. So, the amount of physical activity, of course, depends on your age and special conditions. There are many, many choices. Our communications group, run by Kay Lowry, who's sitting here in the office, has come up with a lot of different ways to communicate with your folks. This is some ideas for you. Just get up and get moving. Conditions such as pregnancy and the postpartum period for women are addressed. Disabilities are addressed. Chronic medical and health conditions are addressed in the guidelines. And children, older adults, subpopulations. Here are the guidelines for children and adolescents. And this is children from 6 up. 1 hour or more of daily physical activity that is at least moderate. Most of the 1 hour a day should be either moderate or vigorous. And we want kids doing vigorous activity at least 3 days a week. Children are usually active in short bursts, and so that 10-minute rule for kids, we can't really say that they have to be active for 10 minutes at a time with the vigorous for that to be good for them. So the 10 minutes at a time is not required for their burst of vigorous activity to count for kids. Another thing that we want our children doing is muscle strengthening activities 3 days a week and bone strengthening activities 3 days a week. So you've got 1 hour a day or more. We've got 3 days a week we want vigorous. We want muscle strengthening and bone strengthening. It's important to get our kids out there having fun. All right, let's move to the adults ages 18 to 64. There it is. I've already told you 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity. Notice that if you are doing vigorous intensity physical activity in this time-crunched world of ours, you can save some time. As a matter of fact, you can save half time. You can do in one half the time it takes to get the health benefits for moderately intense, you can get the same benefits with vigorous physical activity. Muscle strengthening activities that involve all the major muscle groups, you all know what they are. Legs, hip, back, chest, abdomen, shoulders, arms. Those need to be done twice a week. For additional health benefits, again, up to 300 minutes of moderate intensity, cut it in half, 2 hours and 30 minutes of vigorous intensity. Or you can mix and match. Easy to mix and match if you can do math a little bit. Older adults. Listen, we want older adults to follow the guidelines for adults 18 to 64 when it's possible. When it's not possible, we want them to do as much as they can working towards the same numbers for adults that aren't a little bit elderly. If an adult or an older adult that you're working with is at risk for falls, then we encourage balance exercises. Those without chronic conditions do not need to consult a health care provider. We've got disabilities, women during pregnancy, and adults with selected chronic conditions also addressed in the physical activity guidelines for Americans. These are the things I want you to take away. Some is better than none. More is better. Aerobic activity needs to be done in 10-minute increments for it to count towards the 150 minutes a week. It is safe for almost everyone. The health benefits of physical activity far outweigh the risk of adverse events. It's in a weekly total now, but the 30 minutes a day, 5 times a week, is absolutely okay. And if you think you're going to be confusing someone, stick with the 30 minutes 5 days a week. Here's for our inactive citizens. Get them up, get them moving. Of course, we really do support walking. It's easy. Most human beings can do that without too much trouble. We want those people who start out with very low amounts to build up. And how can you help? Sign up as a supporter and help spread the words. When you sign up as a supporter, you will receive one of our toolkits filled with outreach information and ways, suggestions for you to work in your organization. We want to list you as a supporter on the official physical activity guidelines. For more information, two websites, health.gov/PA guidelines. That's where you'll find the guidelines and other information. Healthfinder.gov is an informative website where you can send your clients. Send them there. There are many, many activities and how to get it done. This is very important because most Americans say, yeah, I know it's good for me, but how am I going to fit it in? Healthfinder.gov is the place to go. Be active. Thank you very much, and I'll take some questions. I don't think they're.
You might repeat the question.
Oh, the question was, in Minnesota, they are doing some measurements about whether or not people are physically active enough, and she says this changes things and wondered if there's guidance in the guidelines about how to measure that. First of all, I imagine the way you're measuring is 30 minutes, 5 days a week. That's perfectly okay. You do not need to change things. The only thing that would change would be that there would be additional ways to meet that 150 minutes per week minimum. But there are not specific guidelines in the physical activity guidelines to change up a surveillance system. I bet CDC could probably help you.
And I bet Janet could.
Right. Yeah. Here's a smart person from CDC, Janet Fulton, right on the front row. In the back?
Many of us working in obesity prevention understand that even if we give these guidelines to people, if their environments don't support opportunities for physical activity, that it may be difficult or possible for them to achieve these guidelines. And you particularly, you're working at the federal level. And
yes. I hope not.
So I'm just wondering, do you have any influence or any information that can kind of move us to a different place? You know, Department of Education, you know, fewer PE, you know, it's all very difficult to make this work. So I'm just wondering if we can, any hope in the future for getting our federal agencies to...
Well, I think this is a great first step. The Department of Health and Human Services has come out with physical activity guidelines. What we haven't done yet and what we'll be doing soon is to set up sort of a review committee so that any guidance from anywhere in the federal government has to be reviewed to make sure it comports with these guidelines. So across the federal government, there will be agreement on how and what physical activity is beneficial for Americans. But as far as getting the, you know, our influence with other departments is small.
Got time for one more, so it's your choice.
Oh my goodness, let's ask a man. Let's get a man's question. Let's be equal. Yes.
Just reflecting on your theme up here, I was wondering, as part of the systematic review that IOM and other groups have done, do they look at the dose-response relationship of emotional health, mental health, and physical activity?
I think that's a great question for Toni Yancey to answer. I can tell you that the answer is yes, and there were positive results for depression, that physical activity is good for depression. Toni can probably give you the specifics on that. But mental health was one of the things that the advisory committee looked at, and it was a positive result. I can't find anything that physical activity is bad for, really. There might be one or two if you've got a rheumatoid arthritic in an exacerbation. You need to be very careful what you prescribe, et cetera, et cetera. But it's great for you. Thank you for your attention, and please join as a supporter, and let's keep this going.
Thank you.